B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we'll be talking about Toronto building an esports arena with 7,000 seats in the middle of COVID. We also will be talking about a new D&D book coming out, and also queer women in esports. Callie will tell us more about that, and we will close the show out with Tier List Tuesday, fast food, because yes, we hungry.
Because we're hungry.
We are.
With that, we got more coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Norris Howard here. Chad Callahan, as usual, to my left. Chad, what's up?
You know what? I'm in a mixed emotions today. Like, I woke up in a good mood, but I have, like, a weird stomach ache, which is putting me in this, like, weird, I don't know how to feel.
You got a haircut.
I did. Maybe that's what my stomach hurts.
Maybe the new website's getting you excited?
Maybe. Oh, wow, you spoiling it early?
Oh, my God.
That might be it. Maybe I'm energized by the idea of, like, having a new website.
Y'all know that we under gag order and can't talk about the website.
To be fair, the gag order's from me, so.
What's he going to do, fire me?
That's true. Chad ain't going to fight nobody. Anyway, Callie, hi.
How's it going?
It's going all right. You know, it's Tuesday.
See, hey, Tuesday. I wish it was Thursday.
Let me tell you something. Same. Everybody hates Mondays. I don't hate Monday. I hate Tuesday. Wednesday is the most do nothing ass day.
I like Wednesday for us.
No, I don't like Tuesday and Wednesdays because there's nothing. At least Monday it's like, okay, new week, getting the right mind frame.
Yeah, get going.
Thursday is Friday Eve, approaching the end of the week, and everybody loves Friday.
I guess. I just like Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay, even Tuesday back in the day used to be great because all the video games and movies would come out
that's
on Tuesday.
Right. That's fair. Back and when now, things came out.
And now that don't even exist no more. Some shit just pop up on a random Sunday evening on HBO Max or Thursday
Fridays.
Now it's stupid. I hate it. Anyway, I'm sorry. I took that to a level that I didn't need to take it to.
Went
Callie,
aggressive.
How are you?
You know what? Like I say, it's Tuesday. Wishing it was Friday, but hanging in there, ready to talk some gaming news, excited about it, ready to talk some fast food, really.
Yeah, that's true, because I'm hungry as hell. Yeah. So with that said, here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right, so I know everyone's like, oh my God, they got to talk about Yoshi talking about FF16. We're going to get to it tomorrow.
That's right.
I promise. It needed a little bit more time than we could give it today, so we're going to talk about it tomorrow.
Yep.
We do need to talk about this Toronto Esports Arena getting built in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
Norris, you were pretty geeked about this. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's really cool. I think, you know, COVID will end eventually, right? We hope. And the thing is that this was broken pretty much by all of the, you know, gaming news sites. But it's a $500 million entertainment venue. So, yes, it will be used for more than just esports.
Right.
But it is a 7,000-seat stadium, and Overactive Media, those are the people who own the Toronto Defiant of the Overwatch League. They're behind this. It's going to be on a primo plot in downtown, or just outside of downtown Toronto.
Which, you know, that ain't cheap.
No.
Toronto is one of the most expensive cities I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's going to cost a lot of money, as we said. But the thing is that a lot of people were saying, why would they build an esports stadium in the middle of COVID? Number one, as I just said, COVID won't be here. But even beyond that,
it takes forever to build this.
Exactly. This won't be done for another three, four years.
Yeah, but I'm looking at some pictures. These concept arts are awesome.
It's gorgeous.
This is like next level stuff. I mean, it's not even just for esports. It could be like a concert hall. And things like that. So there will be other uses for it. So don't think it's just esports. But the fact that it has esports elements, it's so cool.
No, it looks beautiful. And the thing is that, you know, we talked a lot about how COVID has changed esports, how the live experience is pretty much gone. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to see that people still want this to happen. They still want the live experience to be great. They still want people to be able to come out and have that community event, community feeling. And so I really enjoy seeing this level of investment go into it. And at the end of the day, if it's pretty and your team is halfway decent,
and there's cool lights
and events happening at the venue, people will go. people will go. And now this adds value to the city of Toronto. So I think this is a win-win for everybody.
I watched them pack Little Caesars Arena here in Detroit for League of Legends. They're going to be able to fill a 7,000-seat arena.
And we don't have a team. They do.
I mean, that's true. We don't have a team.
Yeah. So
thank you for that reminder, Chad.
No, and you know what? You brought up a very good point about the LCS. Is that is roughly what? What's LCA? 50? No, they don't build 50,000 seats anymore.
LCA is 32? Like 17,000.
It ain't that little, is it?
I think so.
But the thing is that they're not building the big 50,000-seat stadiums no more.
No,
they don't do that anymore. Like the old Silver Dome or Candlestick Park or anything like that. They don't do that anymore.
19,515.
That's what I thought. It was 20,000. Just going around and say 20,000. You're talking about a fraction of that. You know what I'm saying? Less than half of that.
Yeah.
You can feel that, man. You can feel that week over week.
So, a leak on Amazon today actually showed off the new Dungeons & Dragons book a little earlier than Wizards of the Coast was expecting, unless it's a planned leak like most of them happen to be these days. Our new D&D book is going to be Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft. So, for those of you who are big fans of the Curse of Strahd campaign, this is a kind of a follow-up supplementary book to that to allow you to build lich monsters, vampire monsters. You can actually build evil monsters like that, and it's a very gothic theme.
That is a me theme if I ever heard one.
See, Chad, you would love the Curse of Strahd campaign.
Okay, first off, I love vampire anything. I love that, like, gothic Castlevania, anything. You throw that, I will play or do anything.
All right, Chad, Curse of Strahd. You need to get in on
a
game of this.
I'm sold. All right, I'll do it.
That's it.
This is so far beyond me when it comes to any, like, I don't know, is that what people get excited with D&D for? Is that like the things like
when the new book comes out?
I'm not gonna lie, I've never played a true honest full game of D&D. I want to change that, but
it is exciting when a new book comes out, because usually you get a new setting to play in. Now this is, of course, is a case where one of their most popular settings got a second book, so everyone's kind of a little perturbed by that. There are some people who are real mad. Norris, what kind of setting would you, if you could play D&D, where would you want to play? Like, what would be an interesting setting to you?
Any cyberpunk setting.
So Spelljammer is the setting that you're waiting for.
Any sort of setting that... Because here's the thing. I'm not a big fan of, like, whimsical, you know, elves and dwarves and stuff like that. Skyrim is as far, Elder Scrolls is as far as I go.
Lord of the Rings?
Even then, it took a lot for me to go. Right. I mean, listen, because those tropes were made by Tolkien.
That's fair. That's fair. That's very
he,
old.
He, in my opinion, did them the best. Everybody else, I just...
They're stealing.
It's not that they're stealing. It don't feel right to me. I don't get that into it. If you told me there was some sort of D&D campaign outside of, obviously, the cyberpunk pen and paper from back in the day. But if you told me there was some sort of cyberpunk set Ghost in the Shell type D&D type campaign, I'd be more inclined to do that than to do
so. If you want to go outside D&D, you're looking for Eclipse Phase, which is basically what was Alter Carbon. It is Alter Carbon was very much based on Eclipse Phase. And if you want to stay inside D&D, it's Spelljammer.
All right,
also, there's a book called Numenera, which is built on the premise of any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. That's the whole premise.
I mean, that's kind of true.
Yeah, it is. You go to a world and you dig up this ancient tech and you think it's magic, but it's just cool science.
If you told somebody from 1922, I know where you're
going. I'm not going to
no,
say it.
No, say it.
I was like, so Republicans.
Oh. Damn.
Woo.
Anyway.
Wow. It's as if we couldn't pull your faces out of social media. Anyway, with that said, we got an interview coming up. So, Callie, let us know what's coming up.
All right, guys. The last thing I want to talk about, the Queer Women of Esports is a group that's founded around diversity in the esports space. And obviously, as a queer woman myself, I find it to be quite interesting. They've got an awesome event coming up on the 27th. But rather than have you all be bored to death with me talking about it, we reached out to their director of communications, Jillian Langland, and they're going to talk to us about it. Jillian, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate getting a little bit of your time. So, first and foremost, can you tell us and everyone else a little bit about Queer Women of Esports?
I would absolutely love to. So, Queer Women of Esports is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, a lot of fancy words, which basically means we're a nonprofit dedicated to making competitive esports and gaming more inclusive and equitable for literally all marginalized communities. BIPOC, the Alphabet Mafia, or the LGBTQA plus population, and ensuring that everyone has a space to play, compete, and work, if that's what you're looking to do. We have lots of really cool initiatives, and we're actually having a really cool event this Saturday.
Right, so you're launching the nonprofit this Saturday, and this event is kind of a celebration of the launch. What's going to be happening exactly on Saturday?
So this Saturday, we are officially launching. So it is our hard launch, big fancy words. And what we're doing is we're having a 12-hour stream. Sounds like a long time, but I promise you it's going to be lots of fun. We're starting off the day by introducing the staff at QWE. We're going to be going over basically a couple panels, introduction to esports, finding your career and your path in esports. We're going to be introducing some amazing career industry leaders to talk about their path and how they got started. We're going to be playing some really cool games on stream. And then we're going to have what we're colloquially calling a happy hour, where everyone can jump into our Discord server and basically just have an open conversation, talk about the weather if we want to, our favorite video games, or just get to know us and our community a little bit better.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I'll say this, 12 hours is a very long time. I got my start doing 24-hour charity streams for LGBTQ causes back in the day.
Well, and we did one in September.
We did.
That, you know, how long was it? Was it about 12 hours too?
It was supposed to be 12 hours. It ran like 18 for me.
Yeah, it was 18 hours. So we are no stranger to really long streams.
But I think it's a really cool thing that you're doing. What would you say for you is the goal of the event this weekend? Like, if you could walk away from this event with one thing having been accomplished, what do you want that to be?
Truthfully, for me, it's to let people know and to show people that there is a safe place in esports and competitive gaming, whether you're a casual fan or a hardcore CSGO fan or someone who's looking to just, you know, become a competitive player yourself. There is a safe place for you to come connect, network, learn, educate yourself on the industry and just exist with like-minded individuals.
Love it. Do you think, because I know actually just earlier today we saw the launch of Valorant's VCT Game Changers, whole thing dedicated to women and marginalized genders in the Valorant scene. If you had to, I don't know, put a number on it, how close are we getting in esports and how far do we still have to go? Because to me, like, it's closer now than it's ever been, and it still feels like we have such a long, long ways to go.
It does feel really far. I've been working in esports for about 6 years, almost 7 years. And when I started, we were much, much farther back than we are now. There were no women or marginalized genders in competitive gaming at the top tier, let alone like the second tier. Unfortunately, like last year, we had demographics that out of the top 500 esports earners, there was one woman on that list who made the top 500 earners globally. One woman, that's it. And unfortunately, this past year, she's no longer on the list. So we went from having one woman on the list of top 500 earners in esports to zero. So optically, it looks like we're growing like the tier three and tier two system, but we're still not seeing any of that breakthrough into the top tier, which is, it feels like that's the next glass ceiling to break, if I'm being completely honest. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's impossible, but I think we still have a ways to go. The Valorant news is amazing. I'd love to see that in, I don't know, maybe Dota or League or CSGO or Call of Duty, one of the big top tier games, but I have hope that it will happen.
What do you think has to happen to get us there? Like, what do you, like, I know there's a million and one things that are like standing in the way, but if you could see something, you know, in the next few months or the next year, if you could see a barrier get tackled, what does that look like for you?
I would say it's education. And that education doesn't mean like racism is bad or sexism is bad. I'm talking about the education that leads to our internal biases that kind of dictate all the actions that happen in esports, that, you know, that education that men are more likely to hire friends or men scientifically because of just that's the way it works, right? Understanding the biases when it comes to hiring, understanding the biases that exist when it comes to adding a woman or marginalized gender to a team of men and not thinking, oh, well, what will the boys think or how will this disrupt the balance of everything? And I think that's where the education needs to come in, is learning at every level, understanding and recognizing our internal biases and really looking to change that.
Well, that also kind of falls into the idea of toxicity that we always see in gaming too. So like if you inevitably solve it there, you're going to kind of hopefully solve the toxicity issue a little bit too.
Yeah, of course. The toxic, like, I mean, it's no surprise. And I'm sure no one has ever not been subjugated to harassment or toxicity in gaming.
Right.
But it's understanding that it's not appropriate and understanding that it's, even though it's normal, we see it all the time, it isn't normal. Like, would you do the actions you do online in game to your parents or your friends or your family in real life if they were standing next to you? No, but somehow that behavior has become acceptable. And especially with top streamers that just perpetrate the same toxicity to their viewers, which then encourages them to do the same behavior. And then we just have a cycle that just never ends.
Jillian, it's really good to hear you say that, because like, it's something we've been preaching on this show for, I feel like, eternity.
Ever.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good to kind of feel a little vindicated in that stance. If people want to tune in this weekend, where can they go to tune in, and where can they find out more about Queer Women of Esports?
So the actual stream will be on Twitch, so twitch.tv/queeresports. If you want to check out any of our socials, we are Queer Esports on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you want to learn more, we have a website, queeresports.org. And we also have a Discord server, which is linked in all of our socials, if you want to join in and take part in the action and help make this a better place for everyone.
Jillian Langland, Director of Communications for Queer Women of Esports. They've been our guest today. Thank you so much, Jillian.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you on Saturday.
And that's going to be it for part one. I'm really excited about this next segment because I am so hungry. And so we're going to do our Tier List Tuesdays around the best fast food in America. This is great. I'm so excited for this. We got more coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
Working around bugs in Cyberpunk 2077, but your stomach is making you hangry? Cure your craving with Zaxby's. No need to hit pause. Order Zaxby's famous chicken, sandwiches, and salads for pickup and delivery on the Zaxby's app or over at Zaxby's.com. Cruise the streets of Cyberpunk's Night City while it arrives at your doorstep. Just order from Zaxby's indescribably good menu on the app or online, and never miss a moment of game time.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily, the best show on planet Earth about esports and video games. But today, we're taking a little turn. More on that in a second, but I definitely got to tell everybody to remember, if you haven't already, to log on to Looking for Group. Now, if you are a college student or a parent of a kid going to college, is this kid good at esports? If they are, you need to go ahead and holler at Looking for Group, the only comprehensive resource for college esports programs. Are they somebody looking for the marketing side? Are they somebody who's looking to coach? Are they somebody who's just damn good? Well, this is the resource to find out the best school for them. So make sure you guys check out Looking for Group at lfgroup.gg. Now, Callie, Chad, yes, we are all very hungry most days when mm-hmm. we do the show.
Currently.
And so for our Tier List Tuesday, we made a decision. The best fast food on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how centric are you?
So we're doing
America-centric.
Yeah, we're doing
the birthplace of fast food, as
that's
we know.
Right. Okay, you got me. All right, sure. you got me.
So we're doing four criteria. First is menu choices. Second is taste/quality. Third is price. And fourth is perception.
We ain't going to remember none of that.
All right.
I'm just saying.
We're just going with our gut.
Yeah, go with your gut, literally.
All right.
But remember, DCBAS.
Yes. All right. Tier this fast food, Taco Bell.
B.
I'm going A, because I know it could be better, and they keep toying with my emotions.
Mine used to be an S ranking. However, they scrapped so much of the menu recently,
yes,
of things that I like.
That's it.
So they're getting a point knocked off. They're down
exactly
to an A. So two A's and a B makes an A minus.
All right. Yeah, I got to say B.
All right. Burger King.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys go first.
All right, I'm going to say this. This would be a solid D for me, mm-hmm, normally. But with the addition of the Impossible Burger, simply adding more to the menu for people who don't eat meat, I think, is a positive.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I got to put it at a C minus for me.
All right. I would have at one time given it an S minus. I loved Burger King, but the quality of the burgers has dropped. The quality of the onion rings has plummeted.
The quality of the actual buildings themselves
have plummeted. So I'm down to like a C plus right now with Burger King.
I see. I've only recently started eating Burger King again because of the Impossible Whopper.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had it in maybe 7 years. So the fact that they brought me back, I'm going to give it a B.
All right. So a B, a C plus, and a C minus, average out to a C plus.
Yes, a C plus.
All right.
All right. Who's next?
Mickey D's. The most consumed food on planet Earth.
D.
Really?
D. Yes, because by proxy of it being so widespread, it can't be good.
No, see, now I'm
No, no, it can't be good. It's one of those things, when you spread yourself too wide, you can't focus on the things you do well. So they literally do nothing well.
Now, there's two things they do really well. That's the French fries, in my opinion.
Nope, yeah. Overrated.
You can disagree. You can overrated. Disagree, but I like the crispy French fries. And the apple pies. Oh, I don't know so what good. They do to those stupid apple pies.
The
they shouldn't work.
No.
Those apple pies shouldn't work, but they're so freaking good.
The fries are gassed and overrated because they stopped salting them. They used to pre-salt the fries, and they don't do that anymore.
They
just taste like water.
To be
they
fair,
taste like warm, fluffy water.
I don't like excess salt, so I like when they put salt on them.
D.
So D, Chad?
I forgot I had to rate it. I'm going to give it a C. There's only two things on the menu that I truly, really like, and everything else
Pink
I don't
slime
eat.
Nuggets. That's all I'm going to say.
You guys are crazy. I give it an A. I love McDonald's.
You're silly.
Yeah, what does that put us at? What about B?
C plus would be what it is. I think that's criminal. Chipotle.
Okay.
B plus.
I think you gotta
give A minus.
Are we?
This is without E. coli.
I was gonna say I'm giving it an E for E. coli.
This is without the E. coli.
Can we? Is this like a slash Qdoba? Because I prefer Qdoba.
No. Chipotle.
I don't like. So Frida's though. what'd you say?
A minus.
I'm giving it a B because it's not Qdoba.
Chipotle lost me with the E. coli thing. I haven't eaten there since, except
you
for the
gotta
one time
take
we had it
that. You can't use that.
Perception's one of ours.
That's right, fair.
I don't know. C.
You
bugging. Bugging.
That gives it about a B.
B. I'll give it a B plus.
Chipotle's delicious.
Norris eats there more, so I'll trust him. Del Taco.
All right. I love.
I'm
Del
going
Taco.
First. E.
What?
G. What's
what?
The lowest
the
you can get?
What the hell is wrong with
Why?
You?
Del Taco. Like, I don't go anywhere where you can get a 49-cent taco.
That's
no.
what makes it great.
No.
Hold on.
Let me tell you something. No. No, so you're all right with getting fleeced by Taco Bell by charging $1 for a taco that cost them 6 cents to make.
I don't
all right?
trust
no.
49-cent
no.
food.
Del Taco. Outside of the chicken quesadilla, Del Taco is better than Taco Bell in every perceptible way. And on top of that, Chad, they have the Impossible Meat Tacos.
It's a Beyond Meat.
Yeah, the Beyond Meat Tacos.
So I was going to mention that because that definitely up their tier for me.
And you can get fries.
I don't like their fries.
I do. I love crinkle
good.
Fries.
But I will say, I'm gonna throw out my letter. I'm giving this an A.
If your taco costs the same as a bag of Maruchan ramen, I'm sorry.
First off, Maruchan ramen delicious.
Slaps.
You're not helping your case.
I ate a cup of Maruchan ramen in here last week.
I like Maruchan too. I just ramen is supposed to be that cheap. All right, you guys both give it an A. I'll give it a C. You can call it a B plus or an A minus.
This is criminal. Callie is skewing all of the results.
You ruined McDonald's.
Yeah, that's very
Arby's.
Good. Arby's. Okay, after the picture I recently saw that Rick sent us in the group chat,
that
meat sandwich that literally just looked like vomit. I can't get behind it. Although they had, and I'm mad because I think they took it away, they had the best macaroni bites.
They did.
Oh,
I remember the macaroni
bites. Yes.
The fact that they took it away, I'm giving this a C.
Oh, wow.
I gotta say C. I feel like Arby's fell off. The roast beef ain't roast beefing enough.
See, that's the thing, is the roast beef has gotten worse, but every one of their sides has gotten better, and I can't figure it out.
Also, I had a bad experience at Arby's where I ordered a chicken cordon bleu, and I bit into it, and it was all done. All of it was done, but the inside was frozen.
Oh.
And I thought
that would ruin it for you.
Yeah, no, I... It could have been worse.
I got real nervous.
Yeah, Arby's. I gotta get him a D, man.
All right, I like Arby's. It is the food of choice in our household right now. But even I'm probably only a B. So what is that? B, a C, and a D is
C minus.
Yeah. Popeyes.
I don't think I've ever had Popeyes.
S.
I was gonna say it's S for me. Popeyes is so good.
S.
What else do they got?
That chicken.
Well, yeah, okay, other proper. Than chicken. What
you're
do
right.
They got?
If menu diversity is one of the things they got to have, how do we give it an S?
I don't give a damn. It's an S.
Fair enough.
What they do well, and over the past 10 years, they've blown KFC out of the water.
Yeah, KFC doesn't compare.
Okay, I will say KFC. I love KFC, though, because they got some really good cornbread.
I'm going to tell
you
this.
What do you mean, KFC?
The biscuits.
Oh, and the biscuits.
The biscuits, Popeye's biscuits.
Really?
Are
all right.
Yeah, they're better.
I'd go to Popeye's for some biscuits.
All right.
The biscuits are better.
S minus, because Chad obviously
all right, S
chicken.
Minus. That's
all
fine. Right.
KFC.
Fell off. C. C minus.
I love all their sides, though. Their macaroni and cheese still slaps.
No, it's not. Macaroni and cheese is supposed to be a brick, not a soup.
A brick? A brick?
Yes.
What kind of hell?
Macaroni and cheese
what?
Is supposed to be made
what?
In a casserole dish, and you pull it out, and it is semi-solid. It is not supposed to be
I think it depends. I like all mac and cheese. They're all equal, in my opinion.
Give it
There's
a grade.
No such thing. But I won't say it's the best. B.
All right, so B, a D, and I say a D. So
wow,
C minus.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, lightning round. We got to do these quick.
Yep.
White Castle.
D.
B.
They tried to do vegan, and it wasn't. Good.
I don't get bubble guts from White Castle. So B.
I do.
I was gonna say B because I love it, but it makes me sick. So we'll call it a C plus. In-N-Out Burger.
I've
F,
never been there.
F, D. DF.
Most overrated fast food in America.
I have to go off your opinion.
Gassed.
I've never been.
Every burger place does burgers better. The only reason people like In-N-Out for what they is because it's a social thing. That's
it.
Okay.
Checkers.
They're fries.
A. I love Checkers.
I'm giving them an A, even though they make me nauseous.
I got to say a B because the fries are the only thing they do really good.
Yeah.
A minus
true.
Then. Wendy's.
Ooh. A plus.
Every Wendy's I go to sucks. And I know it's just the ones around here because when I went out to California, Wendy's was great.
A plus. And you know what? You know why? The menu. You get a burger, burgers are good.
That's
you get
true.
The chicken, chicken's good. You get the fries are good.
I will agree with you there.
They have chili. One of the only people who got chili.
They don't have a lot of stuff that
they
I
got
eat
salads.
Other than potatoes and salads. And I'm like, eh. But I guess
they
I'll,
got
give it,
Frosties.
I'll give it a B. I'll give
Frosties.
It a B. Frosties? Okay, you know what? A. Frosty. I forgot all about Frosties.
I'll give
a.
it an A for Frosties. Subway.
F. Below,
really?
Below, put it below the jail.
I'm giving it a C because I like the fact that I could point at stuff.
It's not
because you're a toddler.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
No, Subway's disgusting. Their meat isn't even classified as actual
meat.
No,
it doesn't bother me none.
All right, call it a D.
Anyway, a D. But listen, guys, if you disagree with this fast food tier list, first of all, don't care because it's disgusting. Second of all, we're gonna have more. Don't forget that we will be streaming live on Twitch tomorrow. That's Wednesday, twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Make sure you guys are there. Two episodes get recorded every Wednesday. So
Wanda Wednesday.
Wanda Wednesdays. So get ready because it was a great, great episode last week. So make sure you guys are there for that. So for Chad Callahan and Kelly Scales, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we will see you on stream tomorrow. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.